Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Oh, it is Friday, it is summer, and we are ready to have some fun. Carlo Broussard back with us for another hour. Carlo Broussard is the author of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, which is on sale. Did you know that? All weekend.
Fantastic. I love sales.
Over at shop.catholic.com. But this hour, Carlo, we bring you in here in your capacity as a teacher. You have taught religion before young people. And
taught 7th and 8th grade theology, as well as taught some First Communion second grade classes, right?
Yep.
And had some fun with the kids when I was director of religious education for my parish back in Crowley, Louisiana, at McLehart of Mary.
And one of the things about that I have noticed when we invite kids to call, and is in general, they have very direct questions, very sincere questions, and questions that actually all of us need to know the answers to. They don't tend to be really esoteric,
here. No, so. It's fantastic questions. Every time I've listened to Catholic Answers Live, even before I was working here, and a kid would call in, it was always very profound. In fact, Si, I got to be honest with you, brother. I'm a little nervous today, man, because those kids ask such good questions.
Yes.
They may very well stump me today as an
apologist. Let me confess to you then, Carlo, we're a little nervous about having you on. So I just want you to know that that goes both ways. We're not sure how this is going to work out. For moms or dads or grandmas or grandpas or who's ever watching the kids, if you want to dial so that your child or the child with you can ask a question, 888-318-7884. If you're a middle schooler, just check with the authority figure in your home and you can call yourself as well, 888-318-7884. Already calls coming in, Carlo.
Fantastic.
Are you ready?
We're going to see if my wife's training of me comes into fruition here today, because sometimes, the Broussard family table is like prime time for philosophical and theological discussions, right? And every now and then, my wife has to kind of tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, Carlo, remember who you're talking to?
We're going to see
if my wife's training,
Carlo,
is legit today.
Here with the adults at Catholic Answers, we have to remind you who you're talking to sometimes.
But I guarantee...
Yes.
That talking to these kids here, we're going to have a good old time.
Well, the Broussard kids seem to be turning out all right. They're a charming lot. So how about we start with Sarah?
All right.
And I don't have... Oh, Sarah is in Charlotte, Michigan. Sarah, are you with us?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Sarah. How old are you?
10.
You are 10. Well, thank you for calling, Sarah. What's your question for Carla?
Why do we pray the rosary?
That's a very good question, Sarah. So we pray the rosary as a tool or a help to help us love God more, right? So, Sarah, think of the rosary as like the Bible on a rope, right? So sometimes it's kind of hard to take a big Bible around everywhere you go, right? So, for example, Sarah, when I come to work, I leave at 4:30 a.m. in the morning to get here for 5:30 a.m., right? And then when I go home in the afternoon, I drive for 2 hours. Now, Sarah, it would be kind of hard for me to be reading my Bible while I'm driving. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah,
I might wreck or something, right? So, Sarah, the church in her wisdom has developed this tool, we call it the rosary, which is sort of like the Bible on a rope. So I memorize these Bible passages because all of the prayers in the rosary, Sarah, basically come straight from the Bible. And so when I memorize these Bible passages and I pray these prayers, what I'm doing is I'm meditating, I'm thinking about the Bible and the scriptures and Jesus' life while I'm driving at the same time. So it's kind of like another way in which we can meditate on Jesus' life, another way in which we can learn about the Bible and think about the Bible. And so that's basically why the church has developed this prayer, this devotion that we call the rosary, a Bible on a rope. And I think that's a good way to think of it. What do you think of that, Sarah?
Good.
Good?
Good. Sarah, we don't have a great phone connection with you, but do you, when you're driving, do you pray the rosary or no?
Yeah, usually.
Really?
Sometimes.
Fantastic.
You do a lot of driving there, Sarah?
No.
Oh.
I can't even drive.
Oh, okay. So someone else is steering, but you're just praying the rosary. I gotcha. If you want, I think are we giving away books, Marie? Our assistant producer, Marie, is here. She says we can give you a book, Sarah. You have to ask your mom or dad, but just stay on the phone. Don't go anywhere. We'll get your address to send that book. Again, 888-318-7884 is our number. We are talking with kids this hour. It is open forum for kids. If you're a kid and you have a question, any question at all about the Catholic Church, about our faith, about God, you are welcome to ask that question. If you're not a Catholic kid, and you just want to know what Catholics believe, you're welcome to call as well. Just check with who's ever in charge, and then you can dial 888-318-7884.
I just wanted to say one last thing with regard to Sarah's question.
Yeah.
In as much as we are meditating on Scripture and the Bible through the rosary, we receive certain graces, right?
Yeah.
There are certain graces that God showers upon us in order to help us to become holier. So fundamentally, we pray the rosary to meditate on Scripture, but meditating on Scripture is our way to become holier and more united to Jesus Christ.
Carlo, thank you. I'm going to say don't use the word fundamentally anymore for this entire hour.
I let one of those highfalutin words slip.
Well, that's all right.
That's right. I got my guard up.
Justin in Portland, Oregon, you are up next. Thank you so much for calling, Justin. Your question for Carlo.
Okay, so if God knew that Lucifer was going to be evil, why did he make him?
Very good question, Justin. And I tell you what, brother, you're asking a question, man, that saints have asked and dealt with for centuries in our history in the Catholic Church. Like the greatest minds and the greatest philosophers, Justin, have wrestled with this question. So I'm going to try to summarize for you 2,000 years worth of thinking in like a minute here. So we'll see how I do. Okay, Justin? And I think, buddy,
okay.
I think the bottom line, the answer to that question is that, think about this. God could have made all of the angels. Now, keep in mind, Satan is a pure spiritual creature, right, that God made, along with Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, etc. And God could have created them in a way that they just were so in love with God and united to God that there was no possible way to choose any evil, and all they could do was just choose the good. Kind of like the saints in heaven right now, right?
Yes.
They can only choose what is good. They can't choose evil. God could have done that. But here's a possible reason, Justin, of why God didn't do that. And that is to have the ability to choose good over evil is a great... It's a noble thing to be able to do. To be able to do what God does in the sense of be a real cause of your perfection, right? To cooperate with God and to make a choice that's going to bring about your own moral perfection and holiness, that's a noble thing to be able to cooperate with God in that way. More so than if God would have just created them and gave them heaven and they couldn't choose evil. So because of that goodness, because of it's good to have this pure spiritual creature to be able to choose good over evil and cooperate with God, whether they're going to be holy or not or perfect or not, because of that nobility, Justin, God willed to create the angels and even Adam and Eve in that condition, in that way, to where they could make a decision of whether they're going to spend an eternity with God or not. And that's fundamentally why God decided to create the angels and humans in that way, rather than just giving them heaven to begin with. Here's an example, Justin. Let me ask you this, brother. Do you play any sports?
I play basketball.
You play basketball. Okay. So I love basketball, Justin, and I used to watch the NBA, man, every day and night. Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen. I don't know if you know who those guys are, but modern day LeBron James, right? Okay. So imagine, Justin, you and your team, you're the only team in the league, and you never have to play one game whatsoever. And the owner of the league comes up to you, Justin, and says, hey, buddy, here's your victory trophy. You're the number one team in the league. Does that trophy mean anything, Justin? What do you think? No. And why doesn't it mean anything?
Because you didn't do anything to earn it.
Amen. Oh, man. Amen, brother.
All right, Justin.
So similarly, if God would have created the angels and humans just giving us the victory of heaven, just creating us in a way and just giving us the reward of heaven, well, then our happiness of heaven wouldn't have been as powerful and as intense as it is when we receive heaven as a reward for choosing God rather than evil. We have to play the game. We have some competition. Competition against the devil, competition against ourselves in order to choose God and win the trophy of heaven. And that, of course, working with God by his grace. But fundamentally, God desires that our destiny of heaven be a reward for the choices that we make in cooperation with God's plan. What do you think of that, Justin?
It's a good answer.
Well, thank you very much, Justin. If I don't know if your mom or dad is there with you, but ask them if you can have a book. If you're allowed to give out your address and get a book, hang on, and Emily will get your address, and we will send that to you. Thanks so much for that question, Justin. Before we take a quick break, I just want to let you know I'm going to be giving a talk, Carlo, on Sunday, St. Elizabeth Seton Parish up in Carlsbad,
good
California
for you,
here.
Man.
It's going to be lots and lots of men there. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about whatever happened to the modern
world. You're going to get manly.
Yeah. How to be a man after Christ's own heart in the modern world will be the main thrust of it. That's St. Elizabeth Seton Parish in Carlsbad. That's what are you saying to me? Rochelle's saying men's only? Oh, I didn't know there was men only.
You're going to come to the gym with me and get like buffed up.
That's not
going to
happen, Carlo.
Oh,
that's,
man.
That's not the definition of a man.
You're right. Amen, brother. Amen. You're right. I concede. You won that argument.
I won an argument with Carlo.
That's it, brother.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum for Kids on Catholic Answers Live.
We're ready and waiting for your call today on Catholic Answers Live.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Divine Intimacy Radio.
When you engage with the wisdom of saints this way, it stokes the fires of God in our hearts, encourages us, strengthens us, and gives us wisdom to deal with the difficulties of life. It also gives us wisdom that allows us to rise above all of the junk, to live with joy and peace in the midst of even the most difficult circumstances.
Divine Intimacy Radio, Sunday, 6:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour, Carlo Broussard. And the question, anything that is on a young person's mind, because it's open forum for kids. If you have a question and you are, I don't know, 15 or so and under, you can give us a call, 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. We are actually going to take a question from in the studio now.
Ooh,
so if you're on the phone, hang on. We're going to get to you. But we'll take a question from in the studio. Marie, our assistant producer, Carlo, I don't know if you know this about her, but she does anything to get in front of a microphone or be on camera. And so this time she brought her nephew in. Hello. Are you Marie's nephew?
Yes.
And your name is?
Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. And how old are you, Andrew?
Four.
Four. And your favorite fruit is what, Andrew?
Grapefruit.
And can you say that in French?
La pamplemousse.
I was told that you could do that. Good for you. That is really cool. So you came with a question for Carlo. Is that right, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Go ahead. Your question.
Well, my favorite fruit is grapefruit.
Oh, that's excellent. I'm so glad your favorite fruit is grapefruit. You want to start with something that says, my question is...
Why did the church decide that age?
For what?
For communion.
Oh, for communion. Okay. So you're going to receive your communion sometime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And do you know what age you'll be when you get it?
What?
Do you know how old you'll be when you receive First Communion?
No.
So maybe Carlo can tell you that and then why that age. Would that be good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks, Drew.
Very good question, Drew. So thank you so much for being in the studio with us. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, interestingly enough, in some parts of the world where Catholics are, mm-hmm. like Catholic Christians,
mm-hmm.
babies receive the Eucharist, Holy Communion, when they're baptized and they're confirmed as well. But in our part of the world where Catholics are, we normally receive Holy Communion, our first Holy Communion, one of that great moment when Jesus comes in you in the Eucharist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're probably in second grade, normally. So you're four now, right?
My dad said middle school.
Oh, middle school. Well, that might be the sacrament of... That might be another sacrament.
Daddy said he didn't say that.
Maybe he said...
I say, I
said. Oh, okay. Well, Carlo, so how old will Drew be when he gets...
So, Drew, in 4 years probably, actually maybe even 3 years, when you're 7 or 8, right around that time, when you're in second grade, is when you will get to receive Jesus in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that? And that's not that long from now. That's going to fly by like that, snap of your fingers, and be... Oh, man, already. Did you know that my 8-year-old, actually, he's 7, and this past May, Elijah Joseph Mary is his name, he actually received his first Holy Communion, and he's 7 in second grade. So maybe when you're 7, and if you're in second grade, you'll receive Holy Communion like my 7-year-old Elijah did.
Oh.
And okay.
It's a great time, man. You're going to love it. It's an exciting time.
Thank you for coming, Drew. We're really happy you came.
And my other question is,
Uh-oh.
I'm going to start school soon.
You're going to start school
soon? Are you looking forward to going to school?
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool.
I'm 4, so I'm going to go to preschool.
Yeah, hey, man.
That's a
good
place to start.
I already can sense, buddy, that you are a smart kid. And Jesus wants to use your smartness to be smart for him. You think you can do that?
Mm-hmm.
And use your mind for Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? Jesus loves you, brother. Do you love Jesus?
Uh-huh.
Me too. Give me 5.
Me too.
Amen to that.
Thanks, Drew. How about you, Marie? Not a word from you. You love Jesus?
I do love Jesus.
All right, good. We need
studio audience, do you love Jesus?
Yeah, we get the
they love Jesus.
We got the thumbs up. Thank you so much for coming in, Drew. We're really grateful that you came. Thank you.
Bye,
thank
buddy.
Bye-bye, buddy.
Bye.
Thank you for coming. Must say, yeah. I felt a cheer coming on. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Oh, maybe not. I don't know. No,
I'm happy
Donna
to do that cheer.
Donna said no.
That's a cheer I'm happy to do. But I think we have a lot of people on the line. And I'm going to go to Dylan.
All right, let's do
Bye,
it.
Drew. Dylan in Pasadena, Texas. You are on next, Dylan. Thank you so much for your call. Your question for Carlo, Dylan?
Why are some saints incorruptible while others aren't?
Wow.
You're probably going to have to explain what, because not everybody's Catholic and knows what
incorruptible.
Incorruptible means.
So for our listeners out there, Dylan's asking about incorruptibles, and that refers to how some saints, after they die, their bodies are preserved on a varying scale of being really preserved as if they look like they're just sleeping and they just died, to some parts of the body being preserved, right? And so that's what Dylan's referring to when he talks about the incorruptibles. So your question, Dylan, is why are some saints incorruptible while some saints aren't? And fundamentally, brother, the answer to that question, Dylan, is we don't know. In order to know why some are incorruptible and some are not, we would simply have to be God. We would have to know the mind of God, or unless he would reveal that to us in some way. But because God hasn't told us why he preserves the bodies of some of his holy saints and doesn't for others, that's a mystery. And that's left up to him to decide for which saints he's going to do that for. But that he does do it for some of the saints is a great gift for us as Catholic Christians, because often in the church's process of figuring out, if these saints, if these holy people are in heaven and saints or not, they look and they open the casket, they open the grave and they see, whether the saint's body is corrupt or not. And for those where it is incorruptible, that's a great gift for us. It's kind of like a little sign. It's not, proof positive that they're in heaven, but it is a little indication that the church takes into consideration and says, hey, this is a great gift that God has given us to preserve this body from corruption. And I'm thinking of St. Bernadette of Subaru, where her incorruptible body is pretty darn good, right? I mean, it's it's preserved in a very prominent way. And so these are gifts that God gives us. And why he gives us some of these gifts for some saints and not for others, we fundamentally don't know, Dylan. So this is where we bow in humility.
Dylan, what do you think of that?
Well, thanks for answering my question, at least.
Yeah, but it's a great question, yeah.
Yeah, sorry we didn't, you sound a little well, miffed at us there, Dylan, that we didn't have a better answer. But
that's
right. But that is really the answer, that many of God's gifts, they're just gifts, and we don't know why he gives them and why he doesn't.
But I tell you this, Dylan, at the end of time, brother, when we see God, well, actually, when you die and you get into the beatific vision, right, you can ask God when you get there and say, hey, Lord, why some and not others? He may give you an answer. He may not.
I think he will. Actually, I'm betting on he will.
I'll go with you on that
side.
So although we may not know now, Dylan, one day we will know.
Dylan, if you will hang on, we'd like to send you a book. If you ask who's ever responsible there in the house and give your address if they say it's okay to Emily, and we will send you a book. Really appreciate that question, Dylan. We go now to Christian in San Jose, California. Christian, thank you for your call. You have a question for Carlo?
Yes.
Go ahead, Christian.
Hi. So I'm just a catechumen to the Catholic Church, and I just really want to know more about the Second Coming, because I was a Seventh-day Adventist, and I really like to research about the Second Coming. I was so pumped out about it. And I thought that it would be like next year, but I just want a clearer vision of the second coming.
So you're coming into the church, Christian. Well, wonderful, wonderful. So give us a general outline there, Carl, if you can, about what would Catholics believe about the second coming of Jesus.
Well, first of all, Christian, it is a part of church teaching coming from our Lord himself, from Mark chapter 13, verse 32. And other places as well, that we simply do not know the time or the day or the hour when our Lord will come in all of his glory to establish the new heaven and the new earth and vanquish all evil, all suffering, and all death. That's what the second coming is for our listeners out there, right? A great thing, as we profess every Sunday at Mass, we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ, because at that coming, as I mentioned, Christ will raise all souls from the dead, and all souls, both the righteous and the unrighteous, will receive bodies. The unrighteous with their bodies will go to damnation, and the righteous with their glorified, incorruptible bodies will enter into eternal life, existing in a new heaven and a new earth, a real material universe, but that takes on new characteristics, Christian, that's transformed, that's not going to decay, no more decay, no more death in whatsoever, especially death for humans, right? And so the human beings will have these incorruptible bodies, and our resurrected bodies will be akin to the resurrected body of Jesus. You might want to check out St. Paul's letter, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, Christian. And therein, St. Paul describes, I'm sure you're already familiar with it perhaps, where St. Paul describes sort of the gifts that this resurrected body will have. The body will be incorruptible. The body will be in glory. The body will take on certain characteristics of the Spirit, like Jesus walking through walls and locked doors, right? And appearing and disappearing. So this is what the second coming is all about. And all things will be manifest, including God's providential plan.
Christian, you can probably hear the music. That means we have to take a break. Stay on the line and give Emily your address, and we'd like to send you a book. It's open forum for kids today on Catholic Answers Live. More of that after this.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Can we really say the Bible is inerrant when it seems to contain so many internal contradictions about allegedly factual events? What are the two basic interpretation problems we encounter when we read the Bible? How can we deal with difficulties arising from translation differences, copyist errors, and varying literary genres? 20 Answers Bible Difficulties gives you the tools to recognize and reconcile common kinds of Bible difficulties and addresses the specific ones that most often embolden skeptics and dismay believers. 20 Answers Bible Difficulties is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting series from Catholic Answers Press.
If only evangelization was easy. But the truth of the matter is that most of the time, it's not. Talking about the Catholic faith is enough of a challenge even before dealing with the roadblocks that keep people from listening with an open mind. Apologist Carlo Broussard recognized that as he wrote Prepare the Way, a guide to step-by-step strategies that readers can use to break down those barriers, barriers to the very existence of God and religious truth, barriers to basic Christian beliefs, and barriers to the distinctive teachings and claims of the Catholic Church. Don't let obstacles get in your way. Learn how to overcome them. Order your copy of Prepare the Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? Listen for the best of Called to Communion on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and live on Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Called to Communion on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Carlo Broussard is an apologist here at Catholic Answers and a speaker extraordinaire, and he's the author now of a wonderful book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, which is on sale right now at shop.catholic.com. Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. We'd love you to have it. Today, we are taking questions only from the younger set. If you remember who Ronald Reagan was, oh, probably not even, I went really far back there. Probably if you remember who George Bush was, today is not your day. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you're a child who would like to know something about the Catholic faith, whether you're Catholic or not, it's an open forum for kids today. And Maya from Washington has called. Maya, thank you for calling us. Are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Maya.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Maya. How old are you?
Seven.
All right. Well, we're really glad you called. Do you have a question for Carlo?
Yes.
Well, go ahead. Let her rip.
What's your question, Maya?
Who made God?
Oh, what a good question.
Do you know, Maya, that some of the most smartest people, you like that? Some of the smartest people in the world ask that question, Maya, and great minds have wrestled with it over and over and over and over, right? But here's the simple answer. Are you ready, Maya?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody made God. And here's the reason why. If somebody were to have made God, if God was made by somebody, well, then guess what? He wouldn't be God. Because God is the maker of all things other than himself.
Yeah.
He's not made by anybody. But guess what, Maya? You, me, and this guy sitting next to me, Cy, we're made, and we're made by God. But nobody made God. And that's the answer to your question. What do you think of that, Maya?
Thank you.
Oh, Maya, thank you so much. We really appreciate your call. We'd like to send you a book. Ask your mom if that's all right and hang on the line.
You know, Cy.
And Marie is back over there, so Marie will take your info.
That question right there is asked by some of the most sophisticated philosophers who argue for atheism against theism, the belief in God. And one of their objections to our theistic arguments is to say, well, if everything needs to be caused, well, then who caused God?
Yes.
But in our theistic arguments, particularly the arguments of, say, like Aquinas' five ways, we don't start with the premise that everything has to be caused.
Right.
We simply start with things that are caused, right, by something else. And inasmuch as we start with some things that are caused by other things, that, when we philosophically analyze that stuff, that tells us certain things about the thing that's being caused. And from that starting point, we're able to reason to an uncaused cause.
And that is?
As God.
I wish you would have said that to Maya. Come on. I think she could have handled it. What do you think? Maya would have been like, well, okay. Now, but
she probably would have
slipped into modal logic on you there. And, okay. Let's go. Elijah in Alhambra, California. Elijah, thank you for waiting. You're on with Carlo. Are you there, Elijah?
Yes.
And how old are you, Elijah?
I'm 9 years old.
Well, thank you for your call. What's your question for Carlo?
Like, how does Jesus, like, become the Son of God?
Oh, wow. This actually ties into our previous question in a very similar way, Elijah. And the answer to your question is that Jesus didn't become the Son of God. It's not like, well, one day Jesus wasn't the Son of God, and then now Jesus is the Son of God. That's not the way it works for Jesus. Jesus, Elijah, was always, without beginning and without end, always the Son of God. And here's what that means. You might think of it like this, Elijah. At every moment when Jesus existed, he's the Son of God. There never was a time, there never was an aspect of reality, right? There never was a time when Jesus wasn't the Son of God. Because, Elijah, he is equal to God the Father. And what that means, Elijah, is he has the same God powers as the Father, right? So the Father created all things. Well, guess what? Jesus created all things too. The Father keeps you and me in existence right now, Elijah. If the Father would stop thinking of you and me, Elijah, we would just poof out of existence, right? We wouldn't be here. But guess what? Jesus has the same power as the Father to keep you and me existing right now. And if Jesus would stop thinking of us, we would poof out of existence, right? So because Jesus is equal to the Father in all of his powers, all of the God powers, right? Jesus has them too, along with the Holy Spirit. And so because Jesus has all of the God powers as God the Father, right, he's equal to him, that means he's eternal as well. That's what we mean when we speak of God as being eternal. He is not made in any way whatsoever. He didn't was in one way and then now became something else. There's no change. God can't change. God the Father can't change, nor can Jesus. So there was never a time when Jesus wasn't the Son of God. He always was. So he didn't become the Son of God. He always was the Son of God, is the Son of God, and always will be the Son of God.
Okay, Elijah?
Okay.
Any more questions, or did I do it for you?
That's all.
Well, we really appreciate your call, Elijah. Thank you. And we'd like to send you a book. Ask your mom about that.
Now, I will say, Si, that when Elijah gets older and he's interested in learning precisely how to articulate and explain how Jesus is equal to the Father in his powers and in his nature, but yet distinct from the Father, like Jesus is not the Father and the Father is not Jesus, although they are equal in power, right?
They're not the same person.
They're not the same person, but they do have the same powers, the same God powers, the same nature, right?
Right.
And if Elijah's interested in learning how to articulate that relationship between Jesus and the Father, he can give us a call here at Catholic Answers and maybe we can send him some articles or something on it.
Yeah, because it is tough.
It is tough. As I explained to my kids, there are some things, given their age and their intellectual powers, our intellects, our minds, at some points in our life, can only understand a limited amount of things.
I'm at that stage right now.
Well, of course, we're always limited, but a certain amount of things, right? But as we grow in our capacity to think and to reason, to use our mind, there are some things that our mind is more equipped to handle and to know as we grow older. So some truths we can know at a young age and grasp. Some truths are a little bit beyond our grasp.
Right, and we got it.
But as you grow in your intellectual capabilities, those truths become available to you where you can sort of wrestle with them a little bit more. It's kind of like working out, man. A long time ago.
Everything's working out with you, Carl.
I love the gym, brother. A long time ago, I used to not be able to bench that much or lift that much weights. But now that I've grown and my muscles are growing, I can lift more now as an adult than when I was a kid.
Right. You almost feel like we have to start sometimes with there is an answer to that, but there's not an easy answer to that.
Or an easy explanation.
And you might have to work for a long time to understand it. I wish some people had said that to me about some things when I was young. Yeah. Like, yes, there is an answer, but you have to form your mind order to grasp that answer.
And it's important for our children to know that here's the answer. And you might not understand it right now, but I guarantee you that when you get older, you will be able to understand it. And I'm here to help you understand it because at least they see, wow, there is an answer. I just can't understand it yet. One day I will, rather than, well, I don't know. There's really no answer to that. And then they begin thinking, well, there's no answer
there's
to
no
my
answers.
Questions.
Yeah.
I keep asking questions and I keep getting a brick wall and I can't get any answers. And so next thing you know, the kid eventually starts wandering away from the faith.
888-318-7884 is our number here, 888-31-TRUTH. It is open forum for kids today, a kids open forum, whether you're Catholic or not. If you're a kid and you got a question about the Catholic faith, the Catholic Church, maybe a question about God or the angels, about the sacraments, about anything else having to do with our faith, we'd love to have your call. 888-318-7884 is the number. And I got to talk with if you're on the line, don't go anywhere. We're going to get to you before the end of the hour. But Carlo, you and I are going on a cruise in February, and I'm supposed to mention it. The Catholic Answers Cruise, we're going on the new Staten Dom, which is a brand new ship. It's actually not even sailing.
Say that again.
I don't even know if that's how you say it.
That was really cool, man.
New Staten Dom? All right. Good. Amy from Cleveland says that is correct. And that's who I trust. The thing is, this is not even a ship that's sailing yet. This is going to be almost brand new when we get on it. We're going to sail from Fort Lauderdale through Half Moon Cay down in the Bahamas, Ocho Rios in Jamaica, Georgetown in the Grand Cayman Islands, Cozumel, Mexico. And we're going to be talking about Jesus and his church the entire time. We're going to be having Mass together. We're going to have talks from Chris Check, Tim Staples, our own Carlo Broussard, Father Chrysostom Baer, and I'll be there. I don't know if they're going to ask me to do a talk or not, but I will be there. Entertainment purposes, maybe. I don't know.
We're going to laissez les bon temps rouler, man.
Let the good times roll. If you book now, you get $100 off per person by entering the promo code RADIO. It's come away with us. That's basically what it is. And lots of wonderful people do. And I think you come back renewed, refreshed, and also reinvigorated in your faith.
I know I will.
I do too.
I must say, if it's a new ship, they better screw those screws on tight, brother.
You need to stop worrying about the ship. CatholicAnswersCruise.com is where you go for more information. CatholicAnswersCruise.com. That's February 10th through 17th next year, 2019. We'd love it if you'd come.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic. Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Lots of kids on the line with their questions for Carlo, so I'm going to just try to move through them as quickly as I can to make sure we'd like to get to everybody we can before the top of the hour. Seth in Kearney, Nebraska, you are next. Are you there with us, Seth?
Yeah.
And how old are you, Seth?
9.
How's the weather there in Nebraska, Seth?
Good.
Okay, good. All right, we've covered all the bases. Do you have a question for Carlo?
Yes. Why did God create floods that kill people?
Oh, can I ask you a question, Seth, about that? Do you mean like floods that might come in the wintertime any year, like a river would flood and people would die? Or are you talking about like about Noah's flood?
Noah.
Okay. Noah's flood. Okay, right. That's very good. Thanks for helping there,
Seth. That helps me out, Seth. Okay, buddy, so here's the deal with this. This is kind of an interesting question. It's kind of difficult to work through it, but let's see how we can do, all right?
Yeah.
Do you agree? Do you think it's reasonable? Do you see how your mom or your dad might discipline
or even teach,
very good, would teach your maybe 3 or 4 year old brother or sister in a way that's different than how your mom or dad might teach you as a 9-year-old or maybe your older sibling if you have a 16 or 18 year old? Does that make sense, that your mom would teach her children, or your mom and dad would teach their children?
Yeah.
In different ways, depending on their different ages. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And even our parents will teach us, and they teach us in a variety of ways, right? So sometimes they're teaching us to write, they're teaching us to read, they're teaching us about life and questions about God and religion. And sometimes our parents have to teach us in ways whenever we do something bad, right? And they might have to punish us, and they might take our video games away or something, or we might not be able to have dessert and have ice cream after, or brownies, as Andrew was saying, after dinner. And so our parents teach us in those ways, in different ways as well. So if you can understand that, Seth, we can actually take that and apply it to how God relates to people, to the human race, throughout all of human history, right? So a long, 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 long time ago, when God was dealing with Noah and all of the people surrounding Noah, that was at a time when human beings were kind of like your 3 or 4 year old sister, right? Where your parents gonna have to teach them and punish them in ways that are different than how your parents gonna teach and punish your older sibling, like when you're 18 or something, or your 18 year old brother or sister, okay? So those people at the time of Noah, way, way, way back then, could only learn or respond to things and how what God wanted to teach them in a limited amount of ways. So in order for God to teach the human race and to communicate to Noah that what these people were doing was very evil and very sinful and contrary to God's plan for us to be happy, the only way for God to communicate that message and teach the human race these things at that time was to punish them in a way with the flood and to save Noah and his family because they were righteous. Now we fast forward thousands of years, all these years, to the present day, and Seth, the human race is kind of like the kid that's grown up from the 3-year-old to the 18-year-old or the 20-year-old, right? Or the 18-year-old still living in mom and dad's house, right? Well, that's not too bad, still living. So the mom and dad now are going to teach their 18-year-old child and perhaps punish the 17 or 18-year-old child in ways that are different than what they did for the 3-year-old. And that's the human race now, Seth, to where through Jesus Christ, we have new revelation of how God is going to teach his people and how God is going to at times punish his people. And it's not going to involve the floods like it was in the Old Testament, you see? So God teaches us and punishes people in different ways now than what he did before. And so that's sort of the initial answer, the starting answer to your question. Of course, there's a lot more that we could get into to try to explain this, but I think that's a good starting point. Does that make sense to you, Seth?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Got any follow-up questions, Seth, or are you happy with that answer?
I'm happy with that answer.
Very okay, cool. You're all right. You're easy to deal with, Seth. Your parents must be very proud of you.
Yeah, Seth, that was a great question, buddy, and thank you so much for calling in. God bless you.
Do you think that your mom or dad will let you have a book if we send you a book?
Yes.
Okay.
And my middle name is Noah Isaac.
Oh,
what?
Wow.
Noah Isaac. Those are, yeah, all right. So no wonder you had a question about Noah. Next time you can ask a question about Isaac. Do you know Isaac's brother's name?
No.
Do you, Carlo? Esau?
Jacob and Esau.
Oh, Jacob and
were
Esau.
The sons
oh, that's
Isaac.
Right. I were the sons of Isaac. That's what I meant to say.
Ishmael.
Ishmael
would be the half brother of Isaac.
Oh, just call me Ishmael. Sorry, I got myself all messed up there, Seth, because I was enjoying talking with you.
Hey, that's
hang
okay,
on.
Si. You want to know a secret?
Yes.
I had to think about it.
Did you? It's Friday afternoon. Seth, we're going to send you that book. And I call again sometime, Seth. It was fun talking with you. Jacob.
Indeed it was.
In Texas, somewhere in Texas, is Jacob. Are you with us, Jacob?
Yes.
Okay, Jacob. How old are you?
7.
7. All right. And you got a question for Carlo?
Yes.
Is it an easy one or a hard one?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? All right. All right. Well, let's see. We'll be the judge of that. What's your question for Carlo?
How did God become God?
I can tell you that's a hard one. I'm just that's a hard question.
Yes, it's an easy answer, but it is quite difficult to explain and defend the answer. So the answer, Jacob, to your question is God didn't become God. So earlier we were talking to another child who called in who asked who made God, and this is basically the same question. Nobody made God. So it's not like as if God was kind of like us, not God, and then all of a sudden became God. No, that's not how it works. God always was God, this supreme, super powerful reality, right? That's Jacob, that's far beyond what we can imagine. That's far beyond what anything we experience in our life of the power of God and what he is and who he is as God himself and even as creator, right? But God always was God. Nobody made God. He didn't become God. He always was God. Now, the explanation of why that's so, Jacob, it requires some heavy lifting with our minds, right? We got to really think about this stuff really, really hard. And fundamentally, Jacob, I think, oh, there's that word again, fundamentally. Jacob, I think we can say this, buddy. If somebody became, if God became God, or if somebody made God, guess what, Jacob? We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't exist, right? But because you're here, Jacob, you're talking to me, and because I'm here and Si is here, guess what, Jacob? We know that nobody made God, that God always was. Now, as I said before, when you get a little older and you're ready to articulate that and understand that some more, you give us a call, buddy.
Okay, Jacob?
Okay.
Is it hard to understand? I wonder about this, Jacob. Is it hard to understand that, like, always, this idea of always, like, God, because I struggle with it sometimes, but,
yeah,
but that God always was. Is that something that you've thought about?
Yes.
Is it hard to understand, or is it pretty easy for you to understand it?
Kind of hard.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I share that with you, Jacob.
And Jacob, the reason why it's hard, buddy, is because as human beings, right, you're a human, I'm a human, we have eyeballs, we have ears, we sense things in our experience, right? We have these powers called sense powers, right? And we have our imagination, right? You imagine things. You imagine being a superhero. You dream of being a superhero, right? And it's hard to imagine something always being without a beginning, because guess what? Everything we experience, Jacob, has a beginning. And so it's hard to imagine it, but we know that God did not have a beginning. We know that no one created God, that God always was.
And Jacob, if it's okay with your mom or dad, we'd like to send you a book. So hang on, and Marie will get your address if that's okay with your parents, and we'll send you that book. Thank you for that question, Jacob. I'm going to ask if Autumn, who we're going to go to next, Autumn, if you could tell us your question really kind of quick. Carla will be quick about getting you an answer before the hour is over. Autumn, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, thank you for calling, Autumn. What age are you?
I'm 11.
You're 11. Okay, I'm going to just make a quick guess here. Last year you were 10?
yeah.
All right, good. I'm glad to know you're doing them in order. What's your question for Carla?
Okay, so God was there before everyone. How is there a devil? Because would God create, like, God doesn't like the devil, so how is there a devil?
Oh, I see. Okay, so remember, Autumn, that the church teaches us and the Bible teaches us that God created all these pure spiritual creatures, we call them angels, right? He created them all in a good state, like they were all good. And they didn't choose evil yet. But God created them in such a way, Autumn, that he wanted them to have the ability to make a choice whether to love him or not to love him. And there's some good reasons of why God would create them in that way. But fundamentally, that's what God wanted. He wanted these creatures that would be able to make a choice whether to love him or not. And some of these pure spiritual creatures, and what I mean, Autumn, by pure spiritual creatures is that they don't have bodies, right? These are pure spiritual creatures that don't have any bodies or don't need a body, right, to exist and to think and to act and all of that stuff. So some of them, chose to reject God, chose not to serve God, chose not to be in union with God. And inasmuch as they used that power to choose in a way that abused themselves, in a way that rejected God, they became evil. So God didn't create Satan evil. He created him good, and Satan chose evil in rejecting God.
And Autumn, you can probably hear the music, and that means we have to leave it there. Thank you so much for your question and for your call. But don't you go anywhere. Hang on the line, because Marie wants to get your address and send you a book if it's okay with your parents. Thanks very much, Autumn. Thanks to everybody who called. It's always fun. And thanks for Drew, who came in. 4-year-old Drew came in and had his question. Carlo, thank you. 2 hours of yeoman's work. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Si. I had a great time, man. This was fun.
I bet you're exhausted now, though,
no,
aren't you?
No, it was fun, man.
Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church is Carlo's book. You can get it on sale all weekend at shop.catholic.com. catholicfaith.com. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations, and we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.